Now, what do you say to that? But amen. Right? There is so much awesome happening right now. You know, I get, frankly, a little choked up, if I'm going to be honest, when I hear my brother-in-law, Jim. Just a second. When I hear my brother-in-law, Jim, profess Jesus and his love for God and his willingness to make those sacrifices to follow him, I mean, when I hear Jeannie get up and preach, and Raul and Carrie and people engaging, stirring up the gift. I mean, there are people that have been in this fellowship, in this ministry for years and years and years and years and years and years. And really, if they get honest, things got stagnant. But to see it stirring up, you know, this, there's so much truth in what you said, Sue, and what Brother Steve said about we look at our past and expect that to be our future. It just doesn't have to be. Now, there's this saying, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. I don't know the reality of that. But, you know, a lot of times if you keep doing the same thing, nothing's going to change. But, you know, if you change what you're doing, things are going to change. It's amazing how that works. And it doesn't have to be some big Herculean thing. I go back to this story of the dude that went to, it's Elijah or Elisha? Elisha, I think. Forgive me if I've got them mixed up there. But he, leprosy, right? And so he goes, and Elisha didn't even meet him. He sends his servant out. Says, just, you know, go wash in the pool and wash in the River Jordan 7 times. You'll be fine. And the guy gets all bent out of shape and angry and frustrated because Elijah or Elisha didn't give him, you know, didn't come to see him personally. And as he's going away mad and angry, his servant says, look, if he had asked you to do some great thing, would you have done it? Yeah. Then what is it to just wash? So he doesn't. What happens? Miraculous. He's healed. Healed. See, for whatever reason, we are always look for the hard way, the complicated way. Why? Because in some twisted sense of reality in our mind, if we do something really hard, then we can justify the good things that happen. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because there's nothing you can do. You see, there's nothing. You know, you go and you talk about, Sue, getting honest. And this has been a core message for a while. This is a very critical thing. That you get honest and with yourself and with the Lord, and you just you ask yourself those hard questions and you give yourself honest answers and you stop making excuses for yourself. And if you do it, you're going to find yourself not where you ought to be. You're just going to find yourself there. I same thing, listening to Wednesday service, and it was like, what are you going to do? I mean, it's just like, yep, that's me. That really hurts. That sucks. But it doesn't really suck because it is a course correction. It allows you to change course, right? Rather, change course when you can. Instead of not changing course, not hearing the correction, not getting the admonition and admonishing of the Lord and winding up standing before him at the judgment day and going, oh crap, go oh crap now and change rather than then. And you can't change, but you got to actually get into your closet and do the work. You know, you got to get in there and you got to seek the Lord. And the beautiful thing, whether your fellowship talks about this, teaches it. We got people listening on Facebook that are not part of the ministry, and praise God. Let's get the word of God out. The thing that you have is this beautiful thing called discipleship. And Brother Steve talked about this on Wednesday. How much of what you have in your day and in your life and in your thoughts do you take to your discipler to have it examined? It's a scary prospect, because really the reason we do or we don't, if we do, oftentimes it's because we want to get told what a great job we did, or we don't because we don't want to get told to do something different. But in either case, the motive's wrong in those situations. But if your heart is to serve God, then aren't you going to want to know that you're serving him in a direction he would have you go? Amen? Well, if he's put a series of things in place for that to happen, wouldn't you want to do it? Where did David go? He went to the priest, right? Where did the kings go? They went to the prophets. In the New Testament, we have been given this beautiful thing called discipleship, where you can take those things. And you know, God honors that humility and submission to his way, and he will direct that person to give you exactly what you need. It's a beautiful thing, because it's not about you and it's not about them, it's about Jesus. And he's faithful. You know, the one thing you talked about, Sue, and we talked about this week, because, you know, we were discussing this stuff. What is it for God to be your everything? And one of the things you said I thought was very good, and if you guys didn't catch it, it's a golden nugget. If he's not your everything, then he's nothing. If he's not your everything, then he's nothing to you. Because Jesus says, if you're not for me, you're what? Against me. There is no middle ground. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So is there an end round? Is there an alternate route? No. Is there a different way? No. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care what all the other religions tell you. I don't care what society tells you. Let's look at them. Let's look at society. Let's look at that. And let's just see how they're doing. Not terribly well. So is that where you want to get your source of information? Is that where you want to go? Woohoo. No. I'm going to ask you, what do you have that's so great to hold on to? How about you? But for me, I had, let's see, misery, worry, fear, conflict, depression, suicidal tendencies. Yes, that was me. Feeling sorry for myself, big fat pity party. Let's see, all those things. Let's see, I could have those and just those, or I could have what God has for me. Well, let's see what he has. Let's see. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. Attributes are what? Of love or joy, peace. Those are good. I'll take those. Now, there's a whole bunch of good things that God has for us. So if I'm looking at a choice here objectively, if I could eat a pile of poop or I could eat a T-bone steak, I'm probably going to opt for the steak. Definitely going to opt for the steak. And that's graphic, but it really is that. What is it that you have that's all that great? I mean, look at it. The Lord is saying, if you put that down, I have this for you. But in our discussion, Sue, this week, what we talked about is really for you to believe that. You see, you have to believe that God is a good God. You have to believe that he's a good God. You actually have to believe that he does love you, that he does care about you, that he does have your best interest at heart. And you know, it's funny. Yesterday, we've had a stressful couple weeks, and we have been working on this website for the new ministry, and we have conflicting opinions, Sue and myself, of how things should work and function. And at times, aesthetically look, probably that's the biggest one. And at times, we've had frustrating moments. And I told her, we're taking the weekend off. And she has been completely rebellious about that. But we'll deal with that later. But I said, we're going to do something tomorrow. I said, Friday. So yesterday we went out. Nothing terribly exciting. We drove to Bullhead. Not terribly spiritual. We went to Sam's Club. And we stocked up on stuff that we needed for the house. And I'm super happy that Steve and his family are scheduled to come out and visit with us at the end of this month, and we're going to go have a little vacation, which is super exciting to me, and we haven't done that years and years and years and years. So, you know, that is something that I'm looking forward to. So we sort of went to Sam's Club and guys, we got to get stuff. So we did it. No, we're still going. Let me just check. Yeah, we got levels. Your mom just needs to reboot. Yeah, so we're good to go. All right, so not a terrible spiritual, not terribly spiritual thing, right? I mean, we're going to Sam's Club. I said, you know what? We're going to go early. We're going to have lunch out. Go to Sam's Club. It'll be just a day out of Havasu. Sometimes you just got to get out of Havasu. Really got to get out of Havasu once in a while. So we go out there and we stop and we go to the first restaurant. They're packed. I mean, just, and there's nothing on the menu that looked good. So we go to the next restaurant and we sat down, had a really nice meal. And I got to tell you, after this whole gallbladder thing, it is a continuous battle of faith for me against unbelief to just eat. Which is stupid. But it is. If I'm being honest with you, it is. I believe and choose to believe the Lord has healed me, not partially, not a little bit, but fully. Amen. Right? And when the thoughts and things come against me otherwise, I have to battle them off. And it is something I have to do. I continuously, it is just what it is. So we sat down and had a wonderful meal. Wonderful, yummy dessert. And I don't know, this sense of gratitude about the goodness of God over a silly meal and a bowl of yummy dessert. It was really good. But the scripture we've kicked around many times, and again, Brother Steve talked about it. It's Psalm 37. Says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It says, commit your way unto him, you know. All of these things that we're admonished to do. And this great sense of gratitude and thankfulness of just the goodness of God. Because as unspiritual as it was to go to Bullhead, or it was a blessing. And the Lord gave us a great day because he loves us. Now, your flesh is going to tell you that if you give everything to God, your life is going to be miserable. I mean, that's what it tells you. You're going to have a miserable life. None of the things that you care for or want are going to be at all considered, and you are basically destitute and lost. And I mean, that's what used to really come against me so much before I, well, still working to be fully committed. I mean, made the decision to work to be full. I don't know how to put it. I haven't obtained it. I work towards it. It's what I want. But to make that commitment, to make that decision, I struggled so much about, what about me? What happens to me? Well, all of those things that I wanted in my own way, in my own flesh, in my own methods, yeah, I had to give all that up. But it really wasn't a loss, you see. It wasn't a loss at all, because I look now at the blessings of Jesus in my life. I have a wife that loves me. I know a lot of people that are married, but their wives don't love them. I have a wife that loves me. I have a wife that serves me. Oh no, how horrible a thing to say. Well, you know what? I serve the Lord. She serves me. It's a demonstration of the way God intended things to work. And we have a daughter who we're teaching how to serve us. Why? Because it's the way God ordained it to be. And I find the greatest joy and happiness in service to the Lord. And Sue, I think, if she were up here, would agree with me that her greatest joy and happiness is in her service to the Lord. And in that is her service to me. And our kid, she's still learning how that all works. I don't know if she's figured that one out yet. We pray with time she does get it. But I look back, and all the things I thought I had to have, that if I gave them up and chose the Lord and served him fully, I would never get those. You know what? Not only did he give me the things that I wanted, but he gave them to me in a much better way than I could have ever done. And this is not a once-off thing. This is a continuous thing. You see, the mindset that God is a big fat ogre is just wrong. He's not. He's a caring, loving God. Now, my little girl may think I'm a big fat ogre at times, but I'm not. I love her. And I do say no an awful lot, and Mom says no an awful lot. Why? Because she needs that no right now. Well, with the right attitude, it could be a yes. But it'll be when it's right. We could trust God the same way. Better than we could ever trust ourselves to be good. I want to go back and talk a little bit about a cautionary tale here. Since Sue has my phone and my Bible is on my phone, I'm using the good old-fashioned method. This is the Bible my father gave me. It's a very interesting story about this. Maybe one day I'll share it. Okay. So, let me see what time we got. Oh, gosh, we're out of time. I don't even have time to do it. Okay, real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Man, I completely walked myself right out of time. I'm just going to give you the gist of this, okay? So you go back and read it on your own. But bottom line, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the Israelites in the desert. And they crossed they went across the Red Sea. God provided for them in the desert. They drank the spiritual drink from the rock, which was Christ. They ate the spiritual bread, which was Christ, which was the manna. God provided all their needs. And yet, they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. I want to just put this in a picture for you today. You can go to church. You can do all the things that look right. But if you're not sold out to God, you're going to die in the desert just like they did. And it comes down to the end of some of these scriptures that it talks about idolatry. Because really, what it is, if there's something that is more important to you than doing what the Lord would have you do, it's an idol. And idolaters do not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I understand. This is for those that have not been part of this fellowship, this sort of concept, the level of commitment, the level of being sold out, the level of fanaticism for the gospel and for following Jesus Christ is probably not something you're used to hearing. But you know what? You need to hear it. Because if you're not sold out to him, if you're not 100% for him, if he's not your everything, then he's nothing to you. And if you try and massage some other equation in there, you're just kidding yourself. You're just kidding yourself. Because it doesn't work. You can't do it. I would encourage you to do exactly as Sue said, and exactly as I've said, and exactly as Brother Steve said, and others have said. Get in your closet and get honest with the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, well, you know what? You can know him. It's not hard. It's not hard. You want to know Jesus? Let me introduce you. He died on the cross for you. He loved you so much that he gave his own life for you so you don't have to die. And he did it before he knew you. Or before you knew him, let me say that. He did it while you were at your worst. He did it while you hated him. He did it while you cursed him. He did it while you rejected him. He did it anyway because he loves you in a way that is a love that you just can't comprehend until you've experienced it. That is our Jesus. And that Jesus, let me tell you what, he doesn't have evil towards you. He has good towards you if you're his. He wants nothing but good for you. And it's just sitting there. It's just ready. Put off that old man. Put off that old way. I don't care how you've been up until right this moment. Your past does not have to be your future. Because right now, you can choose Jesus and have a new life in him. That's going to wrap it up today, guys. We're out of time. Stay with us. We've got the fellowship in Texas just getting ready to start, about a minute and a half. So if you are on Facebook and want to join us for that, go to www.eagle-radio.com. Hit the Listen Live tab, and you guys can join us for the Texas service. You'll hear all these guys that we talk about. They're about ready to start talking. So thank you all for listening. And again, get with the Lord, get in your closet, and choose him today. Amen.